Come on, NAF students. Come on, NAF students, if you're with us, make some noise. Come on, NAF fam, if you're with us, make some noise. NAF fam, we are here to interrupt your regularly scheduled series with a conversation called Build It. And I actually, on second thought, we are here to create an invitation within your current series called the 5 P's, Tools for Spiritual Growth, on a conversation called Build It. Because I don't know about you, for us to time out that our spiritual growth tool conversation happens in the middle of a conversation where our students go for a week-long intensive look on what it means to build a life with Christ, it seems kind of appropriate that I'd invite you in on that journey too. Because I love the moments that big stuff creates. I love the intentionality behind our summer trips. Because there's just this idea that we come to have fun. We come to create moments where students realize they are a part of something bigger, adults you are too, and that following Jesus can be fun. And actually, it seems very important that while I have all of your attention, I just take care of some housework when it comes to the student ministry. So every time you go on a summer trip, there's this thing that happens. You room with students. They're outside the confines of the protection of your parents, and you're entrusted with them. And so the goal is that they get back to their parents safely, which we still have a great track record of. However, our track record for losing things still exists. So let's just take care of some quick lost and found while I have your attention. Somebody has to be clearly missing this awesome beach hat. Anybody? Oh, yeah, Brody. There you go, sir. Awesome. And somebody has been trying to charge their phone for the past week. Is it you? Because I got two. So when you come to the altar call later, just discover which one's going to be yours. These look good, but they're not my color. Are you just calling dibs on everything? These are very pink. Not casting judgment, but sure, if you want to take them. Everything's going to Brody at this point. Awesome. He's not the one that I dropped a bag of clothes off to. That was his brother. All right, so this is not a lost item, except it's very big stuff approved. So, to bring you all adults into this and to test the limits of our liability insurance, whoever catches this gets a $10 gift card to the place of your choosing. So, the way we learn it at Big Stuff, if you're over here, make some noise and you want it. Okay, they're working on it. Right here if you want it. If you're over here and you want it. Here? The law of math tells me this. Let's just put the two side sections together. And side sections if you want it! Yeah, they still got you beat. So I'm just gonna turn myself around multiple times because this seems safe. And just lob it out there. That's right, that's right! All right, we're going to get a gift card for Wild Man over there to Cabela's. We'll make sure he can buy some jerky or something to fuel his fire. So the other thing is, what are those things, if things don't get collected, we get to keep them. So I am so thrilled that some middle schooler decided to leave your dunks in our room. So I'm so happy they were in my size. Love them. Can't afford these on rolling on a pastor's budget. And I don't want to show up and increase my social media presence by showing up on one of those Instagram accounts. Pastors for Profits with an F. Just kidding. All I knew is I saw some of his shoes in the room when you're rooming with a middle schooler. So I was like, hey, Brady, can I borrow some of your kicks for Sunday? He was so gracious. Haven't even creased them, basically because you don't know, they put tons of PVC in shoes nowadays. So you just have to kind of walk like Frankenstein so you don't crease the shoes. By the way, I didn't even wear them outside today. These are just, I wore different shoes because this is what you do. You wear your slides to where you're going to go. You change into your shoes when you want to walk inside. Whew. It is tough being a middle schooler. Can I get an amen? All that to be said is we love creating moments where students realize that following Jesus can be fun. Following Jesus has a vibe like no other, and it sets us up for the plans that he has for us that no one can take away. Because there's actually something, church, and maybe this applies to you, the enemy wants you to think this. And if we could throw up this first slide, the enemy wants you to think, if we get closer to God, he will do this. He will steal our fun. So that's just, yeah, okay, well, there's enough in amens. Don't even have to break that one down. So the enemy knows once we get closer to God, he will kill our vibe. And if we get closer to God, he will destroy our plans. Now, I can look at that. Somebody's even whispering over here. They recognize the words I've underlined. Because the enemy wants us to think if we get closer to God, he will steal our fun, kill our vibe, and destroy our plans. But some of you Bible thumpers out there recognize those three key words is look what the enemy would do. He would actually veil his scheme and say it's God's. So you want to know why it's important to build your faith on the foundation of Christ? Because everything else is sinking sand. And so what I want to do is I want to turn our attention to this verse in John 10:10, when it says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Do you see that? The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I, Jesus, have come that they might have life and have it to the full. That's what we're saying yes to when we say yes to Jesus. The enemy wants to keep you from that yes as long as he can through the veiled deceit that he, God, will steal, kill, and destroy you when you say yes to faith. When in fact, not saying yes leads to a life that steals from you, kills you, and destroys you. So that is why it's important for us as followers of Jesus Christ to step into a moment, step into a relationship, step upon a foundation that's built on a life and a life to the full. But how do we do that? How do we go about doing that? In fact, last week, Pastor David was kind of took us through Matthew 7, where we talked about the wise and the foolish builder. And so all this leading up to this is the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, don't do this, do this, live this way. These are the practices, but here's the foundation that you need to be focused on, and that's his word. Because when we turn our attention to Matthew 7:24-27, it says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. 26 says this, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Right here we see Jesus highlighting, in your life you can be two types of people. You could be the type of person that hears and trusts, hears and obeys, hears and applies the words that he has for your life. And when the storms of life come, when the winds come, when the waters of the situations around you rise, you are rooted, you are grounded in the foundation, which is Jesus and his word. Type one. Or are you still buying into the lie that if I say yes to Jesus, he's just going to steal the fun, he's going to kill my vibe, he's going to destroy my plans? Or are you going to just say, buy into that lie and be type two person that hears and ignores? Hear and partially applies. Because if you're any one of those people, because we see Jesus doesn't make, he makes a change in people's response, but there's never a change in what comes. There will be rain. There will be storms. There will be waters that rise. There will be wind that comes against you. But the question is, your response sets you up for your result. Your response to the word sets you up for the result that you will see in your life. And so what is the life that you are building? What is the thing that is shaping you? Because all I know is we get two options. Which one are you going to step into? Because you are not just building a house. This scripture is a metaphor. All of us have building standards. except maybe when it comes to our spiritual life. We don't bring the code enforcement to the life that we are building. And so how are we applying that to the blueprints of the plans that we are saying yes to when we say yes to Jesus? Because you're not just building a house, you're building a life. You're not just building a life, God's building you. So my big question for you, church, today is, what is building you? Can you just say that question back to me? This is our big question today. Our big question is this: what is building you? I am so glad that you asked me that question, because what God is building in you is something beautiful if you say yes. But I'm saying there are some foundational building blocks of your faith that matter. There's some building blocks to your faith that shape you so that you know you're not on quicksand. You're not in this sandy situation. So what are the building blocks that you need to ground your faith in that are set by our building code in order to build lives that reflect Jesus? And so that's our big question for today. So what I want to do is I want to invite you all into a moment to kind of unveil and take a look at some of the building blocks of our faith I believe are evident and cued by Scripture, cued by His Word, in order to help establish a life that is built on faith that is unshaken. We sang about it this morning. I will build my life upon His Word. It is a firm foundation. So let's check your foundation. If you feel like you're in a life right now where things are faltering, plans are failing, is it time to just do a foundation check? Is it time for us just to say, hey, maybe I'm just out of alignment in one spot? In my kitchen right now, there is a particular picture that I don't know how much I can just stick to the wall. It just magically goes like this. And so I think that's just Holy Spirit keeping my OCD in check. But all I know is there are some places in our life you wouldn't have to look far to know what's out of alignment. Because you're like, I want to change that, but I don't know how. I want to change that, but I don't know where to start. Start with your foundation. So even as I'm walking us through this conversation, even as I'm walking us through these seven building blocks of faith this morning, I want to challenge you saying, hey, how's mine in this area? 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 But the first building block that I want us to open up and look at as we're building our faith this morning is humility. This is a great place to start. By the way, none of these building blocks are going to be any type of sequential. You can hop around for the most part and work on these. But this is actually still a good place to start. If you've ever heard of the book 40 Days of Purpose-Driven Life, the very first chapter, anybody remember what the chapter title is? It's not about you. The quicker you realize when you say yes to Jesus, it's not about you, it's about Him in you. That's when you begin to realize, like, wow, why do I keep making myself the measuring block of, am I better? I don't want to be better than I was. I just want to be more like Christ. Because maybe if you just say, I'm better than I was, you could be content here for a while versus saying, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. And so as you're constantly humbled, you take an attitude of humility that says, it's more than just about me. We build on the building block of humility. The next one is this. He was a big stuff. Next one is this: prayer. Prayer, this is how you say, man, if I want to build with this guy, I need to have conversations with him. But I need to have conversations, not monologues. Prayer is getting quiet enough, long enough for God to speak to your plans, or speak His plans, rather. And so what is this practice? And students, you were there, we walked through the Lord's Prayer, and we said we need to pray ASAP. We walked through the Lord's Prayer, we need to adore, we need to submit, then we ask, and then we say, God, how do you want to prepare me for what's next? How do we pray ASAP? We ask, we submit, we adore, we submit, we ask, we prepare. And so that is the idea of going to God and saying, God, if you're going to build me, we got to do this together, so we have to have conversations. And it's simply that. Have a conversation with your Jesus. If you're okay with talking with your friends about it, you can be okay with talking about it with your Jesus. And I mentioned friends because that kind of dovetails right into our next building block, which is this. Huge. Community. What is the community that you are building? If you're having conversations with the people in your life, who are those people and are they the best for you because they want the best for you? And so what are these people that are helping shape your faith? And I love this. And all these building blocks, I'm just running through very quickly. We could unbox these one at a time very deeply. But here's what I love that we're leading towards. I'm going to give you a sneak peek of where we're going. We are going to reveal these seven building blocks. And then I'm going to bring up three students to testify what happens when God begins to work on your foundation. Because in community, there's something when you become real enough with a few people so that you don't have to be fake with everyone. So are you in a community that is keeping you fake? Or are you in a community that's challenged, like, let's take off the layers of hurt, let's take off the layers of brokenness, let's take off the layers of pride, and let's do this together, let's become more like Christ together. And that community matters because it's the community that will shape you. Because in community, hear this, if you don't hear anything else on this one, in community, there's accountability. In community, you say, hey, 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 that's not in the building code. Hey, 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 how's this foundation? Hey, 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 have you prayed about this? Hey, hey, hey. You seem pretty arrogant, to be honest. Can you just humble yourself and see what God wants to do? Community does that for you. Now, students, do I have to tell you what this bracelet says? We all have it. You never journey alone. The Lord your God goes before you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. That's kind of our theme, our focus for the year as a student ministry. So we are doing life together. We are doing life in community. The next one that we do is this. Service. Not community service. That's reserved for something else. But when it comes to service, when it comes to service, this is the idea that you are meant to do more than just stuff for yourself. If your faith is still only serving you, I have to question your foundation. Because service says, what God's done for me, I want to do for others. But God says, do it for me, do it for me, do it for me, do it for me, do it for me. That's just a religious glutton that is filled up with their own faith that I say is no faith at all, because that faith without works is dead. That's why we have to be mobilized in our faith to acts of service that echo the character of Christ. So the next one that we want to talk about is this. Rest. Ooh. Wow, did I just feel the cultural push back or not? Rest. Every one of you in this room has probably said, man, I want rest, but you do nothing to your routine to create opportunities for it. Why? Because we're in a culture of hurry. We're in a culture that says like, scroll, 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 feed, look at this, look at that, go this, drive this, wear this. All these things are dictating you a rush lifestyle that is this, a crush lifestyle when it comes to your faith. Because in the vacuum of culture, it's no space for God to speak. So are you willing to say, God, I want to rest in a moment where the best something I can do is to actually do nothing and rely on the faithfulness of God? Can I just free some of you that feel like you have to hustle yourself to victory? You have to hustle yourself to a faith breakthrough? Because sometimes it's just this. God, it's only you that can do it. I'm just going to stay here, and I'm going to rest, and I'm going to trust. And that's the culture that will help shape more opportunities for humility to come because you can't do it all. More opportunities for prayer to happen because you're intentionally silencing the things around you to hear the voice inside you, his Holy Spirit. To develop yourself into community, to echo his service when you find rest. The next, second to last one is this. Scripture. We've talked about the building code. You want to know what cues a lot of these other building blocks? This. One of my favorite passages and the favorite realizations I have is in John, when it opens up, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and by him everything was made, and nothing was made that I just got lost in my own poetic trail there. But all I know is if he's the Word, and I'm supposed to mimic him and be in his image, it doesn't matter if maybe he's not speaking in my prayer closet, because he's actually saying, hey, would you come over here to the words I've already spoken, which is my character on the page that is going to shape your life into who I've called you to be. And in that moment, you'll begin to see, oh, building code, my life out of alignment. How do I bring alignment in that season? Because I love the way they said it at Big Stuff. You owe it to yourself to read it for yourself. If your only diet is fed from a buffet on a Sunday morning and maybe the occasional nav group, can I say as a pastor, we have failed you. This is a day in dedication of being shaped by his word, because he is the gold standard of character that you should be modeling yourself after, which really kind of dovetails into our final building block, which is follow. None of these other building blocks really make sense unless we say it all starts with a journey to follow Jesus. It's the distinction between saying, I want to just look at him, compare, select what I want to work on, go back to my life. Yeah, that was a communion cup. It's the difference of saying, no, I'm taking this journey and I want to step into it, and I know when the storms of life come, I will not be shaken, because he is the model for every foundation stone that we talked about today. He was the one who became sin, humbled himself, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's my Jesus. We talk about prayer. He's the one who started his days of ministry in a prayer closet in private before he ever expected a platform of ministry. So don't go about expecting the pat on the back of your faith if you don't discipline yourself in the private disciplines of your life. When it comes to community, Jesus knew the importance of community. That's why he surrounded himself with this solid 12, his core people. So who are your core people? Or even to know he had those people that were even closer in his inner circle. Who's your inner circle that's shaping your community? In your areas of service, I see no one better than Jesus, who always was able to step into a moment and create space for those to come as they were, but leave different. Yeah. That's my Jesus. When it comes to rest, he knew there came a point where it's like, not my will, but your way. To surrender your journey, that's what Jesus modeled for us, is to rest in the faithfulness of God. It says, somebody needs to hear this. It looks like I'm being led on a trail to death, but I'm here to tell you he's leading you to a resurrection moment that will leave you forever changed. Scripture, we already talked about it. He is it. To follow his word is to follow Jesus. And so everything finds its foundation when we say yes to follow Jesus. And so what I want to do at this time is I want to actually invite some students and their small group leaders to kind of walk us through some of the stories of what God has done in and through them at Big Stuff. So yeah, we're going to make some noise. We are going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate that these students know what it means to be in community, to walk in humility, and demonstrate vulnerability. So you get a peek into their soul and their spiritual journey. And before anyone says a word, students, I'm so incredibly proud of you. I'm so incredibly proud of the yes that you said to follow Jesus. The rest is going to be a beautiful story. But let's just invite you in on some stories at this time. What I want to do is I want to invite my boy Josh and my boy Tawan. Talk about areas of service. We're going to leave our cameras unmanned because literally our camera guys are our people telling the testimony. So if everybody can just stay really still so we don't mess up the shot, except for me, I'm going to step out of the way. But can you put your hands together? Can you celebrate these gentlemen? Yeah.
Just a second. Ready? Ready. Hey, I'm Tawan. What's up? This is my boy Josh. Hello to the people. Man, as we're talking about just building our foundation and following and ooh, kiddos. It's good. Look at the kiddos. Yeah. Come on in.
Yeah, we're just going to pause for a second. The first through fourth grade really wanted to hear these testimonies because you want to know about the future church. We're looking at it. So we are all about this. I love that we even have different ones that are telling their testimonies in other classrooms today. I love it. I celebrate it. So NAF Kids, what's up?
So as we are talking about how following Jesus changes your life, and when you build your life on Jesus, he fixes the cracks in your foundation. Josh, how were you feeling going into camp? And what was the moment you realized God wanted or was wanting to build something different in you?
Well, the first day when we were at camp, when we were going to camp, I just felt normal. I didn't like really feel anything. Me and Crystal, those first two sessions, we didn't really connect, but there were a few things that I took out of it. But the second day, that night session with Marquise, it really hit me different. There was one line he said that hit me so hard in the moment, I started to cry and just realized, like, that's me. That line is, you're not tired of multitasking, you're tired of multimasking. And that really hit me hard because my whole life, I feel like I was wearing a mask because I wanted to feel accepted by others.
Wow, 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 wow.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So we know, so now we know God was wanting to build something different in you, as we talk about those cracks. So how did he do that during the week at Big Stuff?
One thing that comes to mind is the second night. I had a complete breakdown because of one of the songs we sang. It goes, death is arrested. I remember hearing the word death, and it reminded me of my friend Lucas, who committed suicide a few years back. And all I could think about was him, and I was out on a curb to like 12, I think, with Tawan, Pastor Allen, and Aaron and Caleb. They taught me that with that, I'm going to have regret, and regret's a good thing to have, and that's like one big thing I took away from this trip is regret is good. So I went to bed that night, and I woke up ready for the session with Gerald, and I walked in the room, and it was a very different setting, but I feel like that setting hit me. And the message Gerald brought about prayer was really good too. And I remember sitting in the room with 1,500 people, and I heard everything go quiet. Everyone stopped singing. And I heard in my head, just a voice in my head, it said, take off the mask of regret in your past self and live for me and not in fear of what others think. So right after that session, as we were heading back to small group, I stood outside the door and Tawan walked up and he asked me what was wrong. I said, nothing. I told him I wanted to rededicate my life to Christ without a mask on. I wanted to show everyone who I truly am and not the masked version of who I
once
was.
Come on, yeah! Come on! Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. You go ahead. As we were sitting on that curb with Josh, one of the most powerful things Tawan is small group leader. Excuse me. One of the most powerful things his small group leader, Tawan, said as he took off the mask, as he locked eyes with Josh, and he said, "Hey, man, it's nice to meet you." When we come and do authentic community together, it says come as you are, but leave different. So church, it's nice to meet you. Come as you are. Come on, I love what God is doing, and this is just the start. We have 30 students who went us. We're just going to give you a taste with three. 10% taste test here today. But can I invite our awesome small group leader, Lizzie, and one of her awesome high schoolers, rising seniors, April Heppner.
Well, hello, NAV fam. What's up? So if you guys didn't hear, my name is Lizzie, and I'm one of our small group leaders here in our youth ministry, and I am accompanied by the lovely April Heppner. She has been kind of a pioneer for our youth group for the past couple years. For those of you who don't know April, one word that comes to my mind is she is the sun. She, the Lord did amazing things in her this week. And I'm so proud to have walked that journey with her and just for you guys to get a little taste of what the Lord has been working in April. So we're going to do the same questions, but different answers. So how are you feeling going into camp, and what was something that the Lord was stirring in you?
So going into camp, I was definitely excited, and I was just ready to just be with a group that I knew wanted the same things as me. They wanted to grow in a relationship with Jesus, and before, I was just praying that any distraction, like before we even left for big stuff, I just remember praying, like, God, take away any distractions so my goal focus can be on you. Like, you are my number one, and I want to learn and grow with you, and I didn't want anybody to distract me from that, so I was like, okay. Anybody that's gotta go, let them go. And a moment that I realized God was wanting to build something in me, there were two different times. One time was during a morning worship. I forget what day it was, but there was this girl, and she was next to me, and it was during worship. There was just a really pretty song going on. I forgot what it was, but it was just this girl, and she was around my age, and she's crying, but she's like saying like, yes, Jesus, like, please restore me and heal me. And it was like, I could see her pain and I can feel it. And I just remember, like, God telling me, April, you need to go to that person. You need to give her a hug and just start praying over her. And the song ends, and I'm like, I don't know, should I go for it? Like, leap of faith, that's kind of hard for me. And so I decided, you know what, okay, whatever happens, happens. So I'm going to head over, and I'm going to give her a hug and see how it works. So I just tap her on the shoulder, and I'm like, hey, can I give you a hug? She's like, yes, of course. And she, like, stopped crying. But then right as I give her a hug, she just starts bawling, and I just keep telling her. I just felt like I was like, tell her to not give up. Like, she's in pain. Tell her to not give up. Tell her you love her and that she's valued and that she's worthy. And I told her all those things, and I remember when we stopped hugging, she just goes, thank you so much, I really needed that. And that was one of the moments where I realized God was using me and creating a leader in me, because I didn't even know that person. But the other time was the very last night. There was a lot of things going on that night. There was a lot of stressful things, but a lot of amazing things, and as everything was going on, we were all in our rooms. We were like, what's going on? What is happening? And I just remember God was like, April, just go to the beach. You need time by yourself. And I was already puffy-faced because I'm sensitive to the spirit, obviously. And I just remember going to the beach with my Bible, and it was pitch black, and I just remember bawling my eyes out. I was crying. I was by the grass, and I'm tears everywhere, and I just go, okay, what's going on? I don't even know what you're crying for, like, what's going on? And I just remember telling God, like, whatever's going on with me, like, I release it, and I fully submit everything to you, God, whatever it is. And let's see, I said, I don't know what you're doing in my life, but I know that it's your plan. And I just remember crying everything, like all of those emotions completely out of me. And after that, the next morning, we had worship, and there was no tears, and it was all joy. Like, it was not even just happiness, it was joy. Yeah. I just felt fully released of any emotions, and that was great.
So, obviously, as a small group leader, I love to hear that. But I remember the night very vividly that April came into the room after her beach time, and she was a hot mess. But it was something April said to us all in our room, and she was like, I'm not afraid. And April's never someone who's, like, afraid of a lot of things, but for her to say, like, I'm not afraid to show people my vulnerable side. I'm not afraid to tell people that I love the Lord. I'm not afraid to tell people that I'm struggling. And it was a huge release for her, and it was just an amazing experience to see the Lord work in her. So one of our last questions here is, how did he build something different in you during your week at Big Stuff?
Really, that last night, he just really showed me how to let everything go. And, like, because there's a lot of kids there. So there were some kids on the beach, but I didn't even care if they heard me bawling my eyes out, like, wailing. And I was just, he taught me how to let go. And he definitely built a leader in me. I felt the urge to go speak. If I felt the urge to go, like, say just something to someone, I did. Like, I was just like, okay, sure. And he really showed me that community is so important. That was one of my biggest takeaways from Big Stuff. I remember bonding with two other girls one night, and we just fully let go of anything that we were struggling with, and, like, we completely opened up, like, hey, this is my dirt, like, take it or leave it. And it was like, it was just being completely swept away, because they're like, hey, I'm struggling too. Like, you're not alone in this. And it really taught me that this youth group is more than just people coming together on a Sunday night and Sunday morning. It's a second family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. One more time. Make some noise. Let's finish strong here, church. Can I invite to the stage to join me, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, the one of many students is all taller than me, Jacob! What a guy. So Jacob's awesome. Incredible. And Jacob, you remember, you can talk to your fellow students, you can lock eyes with me, you can look at the floor, you can count ceiling tiles. Whatever you need to do to get through this moment, just know you have a whole church community, our NAV fam behind you. But for you, Jacob, when it comes to going into camp, when was the moment, what were you feeling like going into camp, and what was the moment you felt like, okay, God's about to do something in me?
So really just going into camp, kind of like Josh said, it was just normal. But I want to say around the second or third night is really whenever I felt God trying to touch me, because it was during the worship, and I was sitting there in the song, he was singing Same God. And I don't even remember what happened. I just started crying. And then after service, we went out to the rooms, and I was just getting hugs from everybody. And Tawan, I don't know where he is. Right there. There he is. We were just talking. He was hugging me. And then he asked me this question. He goes, would you like to surrender your life to Jesus? And I just, as I'm crying, can't barely even talk. I just say yes. And then
so you get to that moment, you get to the Same God song, awesome song. You step into your small group community. Well, you're at the threshold of your small group community because God started something on the outside of the room, and you made a decision to say yes to Jesus. Amazing. But what happened next really solidified, say, God's stamp of approval is all over this.
Yeah, so after everything happened, I walked into the room. And it was quiet for like
2 seconds.
Average room silence time span.
And once the door closed, it was just like a huge party. Everybody was going crazy, clapping. It was amazing.
Yeah, we actually have video. Maybe we'll post it sometime, or maybe we'll just let that be his moment to remember, of just this idea where he walks into the room and the room just erupts with his community of men that are there just to cheer on his next step. But it didn't stop there. There was suddenly this knock at the door, and apparently it was the world's shortest girls' small group. I open the door, and all of a sudden, the girls come running into the room. Fire capacity limits have far been breached, but there is an all-out celebration, because all I know is if heaven is celebrating, our community of faith is celebrating a next step that you took to say yes to follow Jesus. Navigation Church, can we put our hands together one more time? And I didn't give you this question, but here's one bonus for you.
You got it.
Oh, I know he knows the answer. That's why I'm okay to ask it. Because you said yes to follow Jesus in private in the community of your small group, today you've made another decision to do something a little bit more public. What step are you taking today?
I'm getting baptized.
Yeah! Come on, church. Love to see. There's nothing that our God can't do. When we say yes to follow Jesus, we step into a moment where a foundation is set and a life is ready to be built. So if that's your yes today, what we're going to do is I want to just invite the band forward. We're going to be shifting towards water baptisms. The rest of our Nav Kids fam is going to join us, baptismal candidates. If you want to head to your room to get a quick change, we're just going to begin shifting. But my final encouragement is, did you hear what God is doing today? Did you hear, let me say it this way, did you hear what God is still doing in his church? He is in the business of transforming lives and growing faith. And so I love that we are taking these next steps today. I love that people are making these dedications today. I love that people are stepping into this moment that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing to go back to. So my encouragement to you is, we said out of Matthew 7, there is two types of people that you can be. My prayer and encouragement for you today is to be a wise builder that starts with the idea of humility, prayer, community, service, rest, scripture, and follow. Take a journey. Get in a Nav group. I know there's 2 meetings still throughout the summer months. Get into our conversations, or just connect with your family. Maybe even go through this with your kids. Go through our Nav group questions and say, hey, as a family, what is our next step that we can take to build a foundation of faith in your life? Because what I see is, when we look at Josh's story, we see an identity that was grounded in Jesus. When we look at April, we see a confidence that was grounded in Jesus. And when we look at Jacob's, we see a fresh start that started with Jesus. So I pray for your identity. I pray for your confidence. And I pray for a fresh start. Can you just go ahead and bow your heads with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we believe that you are in the business of making all things new. But God, we start from the ground up today. We start from the faith up today, that our lives won't be out front of our faith, but our faith will lead us into the days that we don't yet know are here. But our identity is grounded in you. Our confidence is grounded in you. So you have our yes. And our fresh start is with you. Renew us. Grow us. Establish a foundation that leads to a better life. For the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But God, you have come that we might have life, and life to the full. Nav fam, I invite you to a full life today in Jesus' name. We love you.
Okay, can we put our hands together for Pastor Aaron, his entire team? Most powerful thing you experienced, either for yourself or the
He can only have to finish the question. I got this. The most powerful thing that I experienced at Big Stuff is the group that I probably will never give doggone it, given enough credit to is that's my leaders. This was the first year where I did not have a direct touch in any spiritual breakthrough moment. It was all leadership led by the amazing team that we have here at Navigation Church. So for Alyssa, I see you. For Autumn, I see you. For Tawan, I see you. For Caleb, I see you. For Lizzie, I see you. For Jen, I see you. I'm just looking around the room. It's kind of dark still. For Katie, you weren't there, but I see you, and you're my wife, and I have to go home and be with you. I love you.
Good throw-in. No, that was out of touch.
It's like the Oscars. You feel the pressure. But no, I feel the blessing that is the leadership that shapes me. Yeah. They don't know, like, cue music just means the preacher gets deeper into it. So,
well, there's music to add. Let's do this now.
But yeah, that would be my major takeaway. The students are amazing because our leaders are amazing.
So one story, I'll leave names out of it, that I got touched by is finding out that one of the young men actually led someone else to the Lord this past week.
Yeah.
And to watch, just so you know, I'm just sitting here. I want to come up and preach right now. When you were saying invested moments, if you want to know why we're okay and it's comfortable for us to receive tithes and offerings, it's this story right here.
Yep.
Just so you know, church, you paid for the vans. Like, just so you know, you paid for it. I mean, it's worth the investment. But the whole time I'm sitting over there, the one thought that I'm running through my head is the kingdom of God is in good hands for a generation to come. And is there anything else that we should be investing in and pouring into?
Yeah.
And so, Pastor, I know you're going to be a part of a water baptism, so I'll let you go that way. Here's what I need.